Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show's Friday Football Fiesta is on, y'all. You know what? I'm going out with a couple of the fellas this evening. All right, the ladies out of town, and when the ladies away, the boys will play. I'm going out with the boys tonight, and I have recently purchased some clothing that's not like traditionally in the Rob Brown repertoire. It's not really my thing, but I just kind of wanted to see, like, let's take it for test drive. Let's see if we like it, right? Like, maybe sometimes there's stuff that you go, I'm not going to like that, and then you try it and you like it. Food, clothing, style, whatever. And the more Zoe keeps playing the Magnum PI theme, because if you haven't joined us on the stream yet, I'm test driving a mustache for the first time in my life. And I'm not committed to it, but I'm not against it yet. Like, it happened on Wednesday. It's now Friday. I still have not decided where I've landed on this. Yeah, I know. And my wife. So it's probably going away. But she hasn't seen it in person yet.
Whether I care or not doesn't matter, but we know who does. So
there are two opinions that matter on whether or not I make this a thing or not. Mine and the wife's. Now, she's only seen it over a phone screen when I FaceTimed her on Wednesday. And her response was, and I quote, absolutely not. So there's that. But, you know, I told her, like, wait till you see it in person.
So
maybe you won't hate
it. You're trying to decide if you're going to be defiant. If you're going to say, this is my face.
No.
This is what I'm going
to
do.
No. I am trying to decide if I like it enough to keep it.
All right.
Because if I like it enough to keep it, as she is a good wife, she'll go, I don't like it, but it's your face. Have at it. Like, she's not going to say no. But she will say, I hate it, but you can keep it.
Listen, you spend a lot of money getting logos made and making, you know, your head the show, and now you're changing your head. So you're going to have to go spend money and change that logo, or the logo's a lie. And I don't like being a part of a lie.
Well, for the record, the only logo that has its face on it, I made that in Canva like 10 minutes. The logo that's on the screen right now with the microphone is the Official logo, which there's a reason I don't put my face on logos. So it's up in the air. But the more the great
Shot
one plays,
me down, didn't you?
The more the great one plays the Magnum PI theme, the more I'm thinking, maybe this is how I go out with the fellas tonight. Maybe I keep the Hawaiian shirt on. Maybe I head down to the Hibbets and see if I can find a Detroit Tigers hat and just see who gets it. Why not?
I mean, there's other sports places.
They usually have the good hats.
Oh.
You got to have the good hats.
Well, maybe go to play it again so you don't have to pay full price for it. But then you have to wear someone else's hat.
No. Yeah. Give me the Detroit Tigers hat, but I'm going to go flat bill. It's going to be like contemporary Magnum PI.
Does Chris down the hall know that you raided his closet?
No, this is not. No. This is me. Okay. I have 17 Hawaiian shirts.
He's been wearing those for years.
Oh, I know. So have I. Mean, these are in the rotation. I did live before I got here.
Nuh-uh.
I've been Hawaiian shirt guy since I grew up on a beach.
You lived in Jacksonville, right?
Butthole of America. It is 8:04 in the a.m., people. Let's do an audio blitz because, we didn't get a chance to do so yesterday because Alonso so rudely left the show.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I'm done with this. I can't take this mustache.
So rudely.
I'm going to go somewhere else and work.
Left the show. It was unbelievable. So let's get to a couple of clips. I want to start with this one. I've used the phrase many, many times. I'll use it again. How can you not be romantic about baseball? Like, baseball is just, it's perfect in just about every way, except for balls and strikes being called by umpires. It's perfect in just about every way. This is Pat Murphy. He's the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers clinched the playoff spot, and they had just a very special moment in the locker room afterwards. That was Pat Murphy reading a letter to the Milwaukee Brewers from the late, great voice of the Brewers, and as far as I'm concerned, all-time voice, one of the two. It's him and it's Vinny Scully, the late Bob Uecker, after the Brewers clinched their divisional title in the NL Central and their playoff spot overall. I love it, dude. How can you not be romantic about baseball? That's absolutely the best. Let's give you this one. Lonzo, I think you'll appreciate this one. This one is from a cat by the name Don LaGreca. He hosts a show on ESPN New York. Okay, so that clip, I pushed the wrong button, but you get the point. I love it. It is adorable that my guy is just going ahead and laying the groundwork now for his team to get hammered by the Chiefs this weekend so that he can come in on Monday and go, nuh-uh, they cheated, before the game even starts.
So what I enjoyed was the chemistry between the two, the loud guy and the quiet guy trying to hold his laugh when he's asking him the questions. It just sounds really familiar.
My favorite part was, you can call me a conspiracy theorist. I will. Like, that's spectacular. Spectacular. I love that clip.
If the league wouldn't allow it, then why didn't they call those false starts on Tush Push?
I mean, well, because the thing now is, you guys are old news. We're finding our new one.
So Philly's the one.
Philly's the hot right now. Okay. But we're also, and this is a Bill Burr conspiracy theory, which I'm also kind of thought was hilarious. I forgot to get the edited clip, but Bill Burr, comedian who I absolutely adore, said that he believes that the NFL right now is testing the waters of replacing Mahomes and Kelsey with Josh Allen as their face of the league. He said, think about it. You tune into that Sunday Night Football game. By the end of the first quarter, we've seen Josh Allen's wedding pictures 13 times. He's like, do you think football fans, give a damn about Josh Allen's wedding pictures? We don't. We don't care about that. We're not going to care about Kelsey's. We don't care about any of it. We just want to watch football. But the NFL has got to pitch to people who are there for the entertainment, not the football. And that's how you do it, is you show the human side of this. We haven't seen the wedding pictures of any other player except Josh Allen.
But here's the other thing. Haley Steinfeld is famous. So if he was just marrying someone no one had ever heard of before, they wouldn't have done that. But he married someone famous.
I agree. But I also don't think the theory is wrong.
We didn't see any Sierra pictures back when yeah, but you know, Russell Wilson isn't as good as Josh Allen, or
Russell Wilson had a minute where he was as good as, well, people thought he was as good as Josh Allen, as he's not. Nobody is.
Yeah, beast mode and a killer defense.
Jackson Dart, speaking of the New York Football Giants, Jackson Dart got drafted by those same New York Football Giants. Well, he had a very unique opportunity. After he got drafted, Eli Manning called Jackson Dart. He said, hey, I called the guy I wanted to offer up, like, if I can be of any assistance. So Jackson Dart, newly drafted to the New York Giants, gets extended an offer from Eli Manning. Hey, man, listen, if you need anything, if you need a football question, if you need to know where to go or where to live in New York, if there's anything I can help with, the first call he makes to Eli is, yo, bro, you're Eli Manning. Can you get me a resi at the most exclusive and elite restaurant in New York City for four, please, tonight? It's tonight at 6. He's like, bro, that's not what I meant.
Hold on.
I love that from Jackson Dart, new favorite player.
Eli deflected. Here's what he did. He made it look like, well, I'm not helping this rookie out. Eli ain't got that kind of pull.
In New York, Eli has that pull.
He does not. He couldn't do it either. So he put it on Jackson Dart, knowing that there was no way that he could get a reservation at that place either.
I think you very much underestimate the love that city has for Eli Manning.
Maybe back in the day. But how many years has it been since he played? And didn't he get benched while he was there?
His last year, and New York fans were PO'd about it. They were mad about it. That's part of the reason that whole administration got run out of town.
He ain't played in a decade.
Yeah, and that was the last time they were good. You don't think they're going to hang on? When Mahomes and Kelsey step away and the Chiefs go back in the gutter, you're going to, like, 10 years from now be like, who cares about Mahomes?
I don't think they'll go in the gutter. It depends on who the coach is, but yeah.
When Reed steps away, you're not going to look back in 10 years and be like, hey, those were pretty good times. Well, yeah, Andy Reid probably gets key to the state.
Maybe.
All right, let's get one or two more in here. Let's go with, let's go with this one. I've been hanging on to this one for a minute. We've been following, obviously, the Kawhi Leonard situation in the NBA. If you haven't been up to date on that story, effectively, when Kawhi Leonard signed with the LA Clippers, at the same time, he signed a endorsement deal with a company called Aspiration. The company Aspiration was a company that was run under the pretense of helping go green, right? Like helping people be energy conservationists, whatever. So Kawhi gets a contract with this company that coincidentally enough was for about the same amount of money that Kawhi could have gotten had he gone and signed elsewhere, and it kept the Clippers under the cap. And more stories have broken. Like, for instance, we found out a few days ago from Pablo Torre, we found out that Aspiration was late on a multi-million dollar payment to Kawhi Leonard for this deal. They were late to Kawhi Leonard because they were bankrupt and going out of business. Well, at the same time that it was discovered that this company was bankrupt and going out of business, was done, was over, all of the sudden, a minority owner of the LA Clippers, not Steve Ballmer, another minority owner of the Clippers, just happened to invest about the same amount of money that was owed to Kawhi Leonard in a company that was already bankrupt and going out of business. Not great. Well, two clips from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. One of them comes from a day or two after the story about Aspiration broke. When the podcast, Pablo Torre's podcast, Pablo finds out, when the Pablo podcast dropped, he said, I had never heard of Aspiration. Well, then, a couple of days later, a journalist found details of a conversation Adam Silver had about Aspiration before he said he had never heard of Aspiration. So somebody said, whoa, 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 Adam. You had heard about him because you talked about him before you said, I've never heard of him. So Adam Silver got the chance to fire back, and this is the response he had. Nope. That's not good enough, Sylvie. That's not good enough, Silver. Silver said a handful of days ago, I've never heard about the company Aspiration. And then somebody said, yes, you did. And he said, well, what I meant was in the context of the Kawhi story.
That's not what you said.
That's
a pretty good deflection off the cuff. But, I mean, it's not a good look. But still, it's a pretty quick deflection.
Yeah, I mean,
very political.
Very political. That's gross, buddy.
Depends on what is.
Here's the problem. The problem that I have is, and drug prices are coming down 1,500%. Like, no, that's not how things work, Adam. We know that, okay? Like, we know that. The interesting thing about this to me is that This is being labeled, the Clippers Kawhi story, this is being labeled as the largest salary cap circumvention story in the history of major professional American sports. This is the type of story we've said in years gone by. What do you think it would take to derail a professional American sporting outlet? And I've had one answer and one answer alone. I think there is only one thing that can do it, and that is finding out officially, for sure, guaranteed, proven empirically that a league is rigged. A lot of conspiracy theories thrown around, great. If it is ever thrown out and proven that a league is rigged, that is what will take a league down. This is interesting because the NBA is already committed to doing a full and wholesale investigation into what happened with Ballmer, with the Clippers, with Aspiration, with Kawhi Leonard. But if I've got a commissioner who is in charge of the investigation, who is, it would appear from these two clips, actively willing to lie about the thing, then in what world do I walk away from that investigation thinking that there is any reason to be confident in the belief that the NBA will indeed investigate and, if proven, actually bring the hammer down on a Clipper or on the Clippers or on the Clippers owner, who has been largely very good for the NBA. Ballmer's been good for the NBA. I don't have any now. If Adam Silver's willing to that bold-faced lie, and then when called on the lie, just go, "Oh, that's not what I really meant. That's not what I really meant." Let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. We got Rashad Beard joining us in about 20 minutes to talk Carolina Panthers. The boys from the Moving the Chains pod joining us in about 40 minutes to set you up for the high school football weekend and a whole lot of football around that on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Short segment here before we get to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast coming up in the next segment of the radio program. We brought this up earlier in the show. I have a proposal that is in relation to the announcement that the Atlantic Coast Conference will require conference members from this point moving forward to play 10 power level games per year. Now, the other side of this story is that so far, the ACC has not made the move to a 9 conference game regular season as the SEC and the Big Ten have. The athletic directors from around the ACC will all be meeting early next month in Charlotte, North Carolina at ACC HQ to have discussions about moving to 9 games, what that might look like, or do they stay at 8 games and adopt an 8+2 model? That is, you play 8 conference games and you play 2 other games outside of the conference, but at the power level. And this is going to be obviously school by school. There will be schools like, say, Clemson. Clemson has now signed that home and home and home and home and home and home with Notre Dame, and they have South Carolina at the end of every year. They've already got 10. Their other two games are cupcake squads. If Clemson was to end up in a spot where 10 is mandated, they're already at that mark. There are other schools like Florida State who already have an out-of-conference rival like Florida, Georgia Tech with Georgia. They probably would be in favor of this because they are already well on their way to meeting that mark. But if they go to 9 games, how does that change it? I don't know what schools are going to land where. But I do have a proposal, because there is a couple of other things that matter in this story. The first is, as of right now, the ACC has an odd number of football members. They have 17. You can't play everybody in 9 games with an odd number. You would have to either remove someone or add someone. I think I know who I want that team to be. Now, it's the same as every other conference. They want Notre Dame to join. But I think the ACC has potentially an opportunity here that would be of massive assistance. And that is to have Notre Dame play with all of the benefits of being a member, as far as football goes, all of the football benefits of being a member without being obligated to become a member. Why is Notre Dame not in a conference? There is one answer, and one answer alone: it is money. Because NBC pays Notre Dame a massive television contract that is exclusively their money. And when they go to the college football playoffs, all of that money, a massive chunk of which in conferences is given to the conference and split up between all the teams, they just get all of it. They just get to keep all of that money. So there's a reason that even though in a year perhaps like this one, where they start 0-2 out of the gate with a pair of ranked teams, access to a conference championship game might be a big boost, might be a big help for Notre Dame this year. So if you're the ACC, make this pitch. Notre Dame, we would like you to play an ACC schedule as if you are a conference member. We would like to place you into our standings as if you are a conference member. You do not need to join. We are just going to treat you like you are one. Kind of like being a guest in your buddy's country club course. I'm not paying the membership dues, but I will come out and play in this tournament and have a chance to win some money. Invite them as a non-member member. Let them be a non-member member. They play an ACC schedule. They count in the standings, and they have access to the ACC Conference Championship game. So if they have a year like this year where they start 0-2 out of the gate, that is still on the horizon for them. Second thing it does, it makes the ACC tougher. It makes it look more like they are out ahead of the Big 12. It makes it look more like they are closer to the Big 10 than they are normally. You say, Notre Dame, you get to keep all your NBC money. You get to keep all your NBC money. You split the money up that you make by going to the playoffs like everybody else. Maybe you give them a sweetheart deal, but you split up playoff money. You can keep your NBC TV contract money, and you get access to the ACC tournament game. In return, you make the conference better or look better by being a part of it. I honestly think that works out well for everybody. And if you want to go to 9 games, you have to have one more team. Maybe this is your ticket to being the conference that figures up how to get Notre Dame to jump on board. That's interesting. All right, we'll talk more about that later. Rashad Baird talks Panther football next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Rashad, I'll Venmo you $5. I will Venmo you $5 if you can tell me what this song's from.
I can't tell you, bro. I can't tell you. I've heard it, but I don't know what it is.
It's from Magnum PI, which was a show way back in the damn day. This was before me. Lonzo won't stop making fun. I'm taking the mustache on a test drive, Rashad. I'm not committed to it yet. Trash it or stash it. I value the opinion of Rashad Beard. Trash it or stash it. You can be honest.
No, I like it. Looks good on you, brother. You look good.
I think he just wants me to embarrass myself in public. Rashad Beard.
Look at him. I know. He's laughing.
That's the biggest shrug I've ever seen shrugged. Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Joins us every single Friday at 8:40 to talk a little Panther ball. Let's start with the most important question of all. I'm all over the place now. You got me all messed up with the Magnum PI theme. Most important question of all, Rashad. How you doing, buddy? Hey, hanging in there, pal?
I'm good. Panthers football can show some improvement, but I'm good personally. I'm not going to let them destroy my weeks every week. So I'm good. I'm kind of over it. You know what I mean? We're good.
That's fair. I respect that. All right. Let's start with me being a butthole out of the gate. I wasn't super impressed. I'm glad the team showed a bunch of fight in the come from behind against Arizona to climb back into that thing. You get the onside kick, everything's going great. Arizona was bringing three. They were dropping back. They were playing prevent. They were pretty much letting you do whatever you wanted to do because they were getting to do pretty much whatever they wanted to do. Glad to see the fight, Rashad, but it doesn't convince me that a corner got turned last week.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think perspective is important. Depends on how you view the team. I think if you're looking for the negative, you can find it. If you're looking for the positive, you can find it. For me, I'm with you, Rob. I'm not impressed. You basically came out and did the same thing you did last week against the Jaguars. You turned the football over early. You had a couple offensive line miscommunications. You know, you had some injuries. You did deal with some injuries. Also, Arizona did deal with some injuries in their secondary too, which probably helped with the comeback as well. But a lot of miscues. We start in games flat. I don't know who to blame, whether it's going to be Canales, whether it's going to be Bryce. I think everybody can take blame for what's going on, but we have to find a better way to start fast. Like, we have to start fast, or every game is going to be like this. We're getting rattled early, and then we just don't have the capability to come back. We're not built for it. We did a good job. They tried. I commend them for fighting back, but we just don't have it. We just don't have it.
It is interesting to me that Dave Canales has skyrocketed up the Vegas shortest odds to be the next coach fired. He was, if I recall correctly, he was like 16th or 17th in those odds preseason. He's now sitting at number 4 or 5, depending on what book you look at. And, you know, you got some guys like Mike McDaniel. Obviously, he's going to be at the top of the list, etc. But it blows my mind, Rashad. But what's your reaction to it? Because I looked at it and I thought, all right, you came into the year with some expectations, maybe not lofty, but you're 0-2. It's not a great start. And more importantly, you kind of look like you're still figuring it out. I blamed it on not enough time played together in the preseason with the starters moving all over the place to really develop the season, the preseason chemistry. Where do you land on Canales being top 5 on that list?
I mean, results speak for themselves. I mean, for me personally, I'm not going to say Canales needs to be fired. We need to move on from him at this point. I think we need to let it play out. Maybe he just starts the season slow, and that's just how we are. Maybe we finish strong. We won't even remember the first two games. So I don't know, man. But we need to turn this thing around. You know, the rah-rah, and we're getting a little sick of it. You know what I mean? It's the turnover Tuesdays and all these little themes. That's cute, right? But we have to see the results on the field, and it's not connecting, whether it's the players, whether it's his scheme, whether he has the right players to put a scheme in, which is a whole nother discussion. I don't even go there yet, but it's something is not right in the Panthers organization, especially with that offense. I thought defensively, if you want to look at a bright spot, I thought defensively we played well. We stopped the run, held them to under 100 yards. So we talking about Evero, and I see some Evero comments in the chat. I thought we did a good job defensively. You know, I thought they did an excellent job. Shout out to our secondary too. Well, specifically the corners. They're doing a great job. Great cover corners. They're doing very well. But outside of that, man, you know, Canales, I can see it. I mean, he's got to get better for sure.
We're going to come to the defense here in just a minute, but I want to keep with the offense for just a second.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. I do want to get there, but I wanted to get your thoughts. After week one, I said on the show, love the guy, entertaining as hell. I got a lot of concern about Xavier Legette. After week two, my stance, Rashad Beard, was when Jalen Coker comes back, Xavier Legette's getting the axe, not Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, that is the sentiment around Panther Nation, is that when Coker returns, which is hopefully after week four, then XL is going to slide to, you know, where to the bench, and Coker takes on number two outside, which is what they've been training for him to do. They've been trying, because last year he played in the slot a lot, and now this year I think they're trying to get him on the outside more. And you saw that in the preseason when he came in when XL got ejected, and Coker did a fantastic job replacing him. So we already know what Coker's capable of. But yeah, the 8 targets, negative yards, that's historic. I think he's like the first wide receiver to do such a feat. It's not a good thing. I think he's in his head. I saw his locker room interview, and I felt bad for the kid, man. I think we like him. Like, we really, really want XL to be great. And so this is not me saying, oh, he's a terrible person. Because that's not the case. We really like XL. We want him to be successful. But at the end of the day, results speak for themselves, and it's got to translate to the field. All the coon talk and all the Kentucky Derby, that's great, but you gotta get it to the field, and it's not translating. So we gotta do better there.
No, I agree. That's where I'm at. I want the guy to be successful as both a dude and as a member of hashtag team content. Like, I want XL around forever, but at the end of the day, I would take 22 of the most boring, lame, vanilla dudes in the world if they go win a Super Bowl over 22 of the most electrifying entertainers in the game if they can't. Talk to me about the defense, because 2 weeks ago it was a lot of, and I asked you the question, I don't think you have the personnel to run a 3-4. Do we see that shift up? Can Evero change the system? Whatever. There was a lot of heat on him, I thought, after week one. And here comes Rashad Beard after week two saying, not as bad as maybe we thought it was. Overall, 36,000-foot view of the defense.
Yeah, I thought the defense did well, considering the circumstances. You know, Princely got his first sack, which was great to see. We lack a pass rush, so it was good to see our rookie in limited snaps, too. I don't think he played but like 13 snaps. So he was effective when he was on the field, so it's good to see him get some pressure. DJ Wonnum had a great interception. He continues to do well. Our run defense, like I said earlier, bounced back. They gave up 200 against Jacksonville and only gave up 82 against Arizona. So I think he did a good job. Now, I still think we lack some talent in the linebacker room, so we're always going to have that issue. It's not going to be fixed overnight. Unfortunately, we're kind of left with the guys we have throughout the season. So either they're going to improve or we're going to continue to be garbage to the linebacker role. But both of our guys, Roseboom and Wallace, they have to get better. It's not pretty on the interior for that linebacker room. But everything else, man, I like it. Again, the corner play is excellent. I think we're doing a good job. And I think, again, coming into the season, all I asked was for the defense to be mid, and that's what they are. They're a mid defense, and I felt like the defense did enough to win that game. They got the ball back when you needed it. You know, seven of the points came from Bryce Young's turnover, right? So I felt like the defense did a great job. They weren't perfect by any means. Please, I'm never going to say that, because they still lack some talent, but they did a great job considering the circumstances.
We kind of knew, though, coming into this year that if this team was going to be successful, however you define success, be above 500, win the division, be a wild card team, whatever. We kind of knew coming into the year, didn't we, that if they got there, it was going to be behind a good offense and a good enough defense. So, like, I'm good with where you're at there. Yes, we'd all like to be better, but I'm good with where you're at. Just waiting for the offensive turnaround. Dude, I don't have an answer for it right now, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating, and we have a tough matchup coming up against Atlanta. That offense their offense and defense are solid. We're down two offensive linemen, Robert Hunt and Austin Corbett, go to IR. Robert Hunt is the bigger loss of the two. I do feel confident enough in Kay Mays. As Corbett went down last year, Kay Mays stepped right in, did an excellent job. So I think we're going to be good at the center role, but that guard position, putting Chandler Zavala in there, he's going to have to step up. Now, he did have a better season last year than his rookie season when he got the opportunities to play. But he's going to have to really step up because the Falcons' defense has improved. They got a good pass rush. They got a good young core, too. So that's going to be a solid, solid matchup for Bryce Young and company. They're going to have to be better. And they're just going to have to start. If you just protect the football, man, Bryce has to protect the football. And again, we had this big debate on our show on Tuesday on who's to blame and whatever. But it ultimately boils down to Bryce. He has to hold on to the football. I mean, you're gonna get sacked, but you can't fumble and have those fumbles turn into points. So you have to do better. You got to hold on to the football, protect the football, take the sack, live to fight another day. And I think the game could have been different against Arizona, and he's gonna have to do that against Atlanta.
Talk to me about the matchup with Atlanta. We all know what Bijan Robinson is capable of doing out of the backfield and as a pass catcher. That is, I think, for a team where the biggest question is linebacker coverage to the outside, terrifying. We have seen Michael Penix Jr. kind of start week by week, maybe not at the pace Atlanta would like, but he's starting to look and feel more comfortable in and outside of the pocket. Unless this is the game where that offense clicks, Rashad Beard, this one feels like it could be a long Sunday afternoon for Carolina.
Yeah, and I packed my bags for it too. I think it's gonna be a long one. It's the home opener too, which is the bad part. They're gonna look good in the all blacks, or at least the black helmet. I'm not sure what the jersey combination.
Black helmet, blue uni, white pants. Yeah. I think is what I saw.
Oh, that's white pants.
Let me make sure. It may be black pants, but I thought I saw.
I hope it's black pants.
Black over blue over white.
They're gonna look good. They're gonna look good, and it's gonna be unfortunate if things go south. I do feel like the fans are going to make a statement. If things look ugly, you may hear the boo birds out on Sunday. So, I certainly hope that they come prepared. We were excited coming to the season, and it's been a major letdown. I think Atlanta's going to be a tough matchup. You know, they may not look at it like it, but Atlanta's our biggest rival, right? Atlanta, the I-85 South rivalry. We look at them. We don't like the Falcons. You know what I mean? So we want a W here. We need a W here. This is a must win game because after this, it gets tough. Well, you got the Patriots, then Miami. And then after that, it goes downhill from there. So we have got to build some momentum starting against the Falcons. Like you said, Bijan out of the backfield, catching out the backfield is terrifying. I'm matter of fact, I may not sleep tonight dreaming about that because we don't have the linebackers to cover it. And it's going to be scary. I just hope the defense can do enough and Bryce Young will protect the football. If Bryce Young doesn't have any turnovers and our receivers catch the football, it sounds so basic, right? But I think it'll be a good day for us. I think it's a winnable game. Atlanta isn't unbeatable. Like, it's a winnable game. We just have to go out there and execute at the end of the day.
Is it frustrating to you that the take on a lot of these games recently have just been like, do the football stuff right. Like, just do the football stuff, man. You've got to just do the football stuff.
Yeah, extremely frustrating. And that's where you turn to Canales and you're like, man, what are you doing? Like, as a coach, what are you doing with these guys? Because he keeps talking about it too in his interviews, basics and fundamentals. Like, this isn't high school, ladies and gentlemen. Like, this, like, why are we talking about how to tackle in a press conference? Why are we talking about catching the football? Why are we talking about very, very basic X's and O's? This is the NFL. Like, what are we doing? So I feel like, man, we have to do better. I think we're capable of it, and we keep talking about what we're capable of. Canales keeps talking about, man, I like this team. I like what we're capable of. You got to show me. I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me. We need to see it.
What a reference from Rashad Beard. The Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get to the YouTube channel. Get subscribed. Get liked up. The boys are live all the time. If they get dropped by Atlanta on Sunday, it's gonna be a long night for Rashad Beard.
It is. It's gonna be. It might be some fireworks on PNP after the game. So come check it out.
Oh, bank it. I'll be there. My man, appreciate you, big dog. Talk to you next week, brother.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You know it. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock to talk Panther football. Stick around when we come back here in just a moment from now. We're going to be joined by the fellas from the Moving the Chains podcast. We'll set you up for the high school football weekend. We will make our college and NFL picks and predictions in the final hour of the show on the Friday Football Fiesta. Sports Flash.
That was a good one, Joe. The Buffalo Bills remain undefeated after a 31-21 win over the Dolphins last night. Josh Allen finished 22-28 for 213 yards and three touchdown passes. And James Cook rushed for 108 yards and a touchdown on 19 carries. South Carolina quarterback Lenora Sellers has been upgraded to probable for this weekend's matchup against Missouri. Reports out of Columbia are that Sellers has participated in practice, though his level of involvement hasn't been revealed. Clemson wide receiver Antonio Williams is listed as probable for this Saturday's matchup against Syracuse. Williams injured his hamstring in the week of one matchup against LSU and has been unavailable since. Starting left tackle Tristan Lay and safety Khalil Barnes are also listed as probable. Hour number four of the Rob Brown Show coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.